Now listen carefully, because we're going to build this message from the Old Testament through the New Testament. It may be a subject that you have not studied before. We are studying the names and titles of Jesus Christ. This one, Christ the First Fruits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just listen to me quote it. Verse 20 says this: Christ has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What in the world does that mean? First fruits? I mean, what is that? Fallen asleep? Who are they? And what is that all about? I want us to begin this morning in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. My first thought is this: the Feast of First Fruits. We need to understand a little bit about that to understand the terminology that's being used about Christ. Leviticus chapter 23, and let me read verses 9 through 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he will wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And this is to be done on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." Well, that's interesting, because that's Sunday. Most people think Sunday isn't in the Old Testament much. That's the church. Oh, no. This is to the Jewish people. They had an important thing to do on that Feast of First Fruits, on the Sunday. Okay, what he just painted for us, what they did was a picture. The grain is planted. Now it comes up. They were to take the first grain that comes up to the priest, and he would wave it before the Lord on Sunday. This is a picture. God is instructing them to do something that later he will begin to define, explain, and clarify. They did it more by faith, but it pictures. Watch. The seed goes in the ground. There's the death. And then the resurrection. It comes back up out of the ground on Sunday. So that's the picture that they were given in the Old Testament. Now, if you will take your Bibles, my second thought is this. I want you to see what Jesus said about planting a seed. Turn to John chapter 12, New Testament. The Gospel of John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, I'll read verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." That's interesting. Jesus is using the image of a seed to illustrate the truth that there can be no grain unless the seed's planted. There's the death. He's alluding to the crucifixion, his crucifixion. I'll show you. Same chapter. Drop down to verse 32. Two verses, 32 and 33. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, that would be on the cross, will draw all men or people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. He would be lifted up on a cross. Then he would, of course, be buried, rise again the third day. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've looked at the Feast of First Fruits, what Jesus said about planting a seed. Now I want you to see Christ, the first fruits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let me give you an accurate paraphrase of this statement. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first of millions who will come back to life again someday. That's what it just said. Drop down to verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then secondly, afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Third, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to the Father and puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. What this is teaching us is everyone will experience a bodily resurrection. But there's a particular order. Christ first. Then he says those who are at his coming, there'll be a resurrection. And then the others, the end ones. Now I want you to turn to a passage that I have used many times. And I've used it many times because I have had hundreds and hundreds of funerals over the years. I have stood at more gravesides than you can imagine with brokenhearted family members. I understand. I've been there. You know, my dad's gone, my mom is gone, etc. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to read the passage, and then I'm going to give you some comments about it. And I hope I will clarify some things for you. We are in 1 Thessalonians 4. I want you to listen to verses 13 through 18. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, if this is not a familiar portion, when I read this, you're probably going to have some questions in your mind. My responsibility as pastor is to clarify and to lay the scriptures out so that you can understand what is being said. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. And I will tell you ahead of time, if you don't know the context of this passage, you have to put yourself back as if you were a part of this church that he's writing to. They had been told, and rightly so, Jesus is coming back. Now remember, this is first century. So it's only been a matter of years. Jesus has been gone. He rose and he ascended to heaven. And they were constantly being told, he's coming back. They thought he was coming back in their lifetime. They could not imagine all these years we've gone through. So the years go by. First 10 years he's been gone, then 20 years, and so forth. Finally, they had a lot of questions, and here's their questions. Where's my sister? Where's my mom? Where's my son that died? I thought Jesus was coming back. Now I have so many people that have died. What has happened to them, and what is going on? This is what the Spirit of God is answering through the Apostle Paul. Notice how he puts it in verse 13. But I did not want you to be ignorant, brethren. That is, I don't want you to be confused concerning those who have fallen asleep or those who've died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be or ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. To which I say, and I've often referred back years ago when I was first studying the Bible, I was totally confused by that passage. You say, well, why were you so confused? I didn't know people, when they died, just went to sleep. I thought we went to heaven. This is talking about people sleeping. I remember I had to go to somebody and ask them. I said, I didn't know my soul would sleep. What does that mean? They said, Jerry, you've totally misunderstood. And they laid it out for me. Okay. Let me show you two groups of people. Two different times in this passage, and if you can keep these clear and kind of separated, it'll help. first. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," I do, "even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Okay. First of all, those who sleep in Jesus. Sleep is a, we call it a euphemism, but it's a word being used, and he's trying to picture something for us. Let's get this in our heads. We are physical, but we are also spiritual. That distinguishes us from all other living things. Now, you can call it a soul or a spirit. The words are used interchangeably in the New Testament. But the point is this. We are physical, but I have a part called my soul that lives forever because we're made in the image of God. So I'm physical, but I'm also spiritual. I am material, but I also have an immaterial part of me, and so do you. Those who sleep in Jesus are those whose immaterial part, the soul, has been separated from their bodies. Okay, if you need a definition of physical death, I'll just quote it for you. James chapter 2, verse 26 says this, "For as the body without the spirit," that's the immaterial part you can't see, "is dead," there it is. He just defined physical death for us. When my soul is separated from my body, I will be dead physically. So the body separated from the spirit is the description of physical death. That's how 2 Corinthians 5:8 can say, someday we will be, listen to this, absent from our body, there's the soul, and the body, and present with the Lord. Absent from our body and present with the Lord? Yes, because I will leave my body here. Whatever you do with it, you do with it. There'll be a funeral service. But my soul has been separated from my body, and I am now absent from my body and present with the Lord immediately. That's what Scripture is saying. So he's talking about those who sleep in Jesus. When we die physically, we look like we're asleep. Notice the word sleep is being used because it looks like sleep, but the soul is with the Lord. It's only the physical body that looks like it's asleep. See the difference? So those who sleep in Jesus are believers. They sleep in Jesus because their soul has been separated from their body and is present with the Lord. The body has been left behind. But then he says, look at verse 15. "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." Oh. There will be some people, a generation that won't die. We will be alive unto the coming of the Lord. That's what we're waiting for. Nothing needs to happen for the Lord to come back. It's imminent. always has been. He could come at any moment. So here he talks about those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Oh, my soul is still in my body. Then look what he says. In verse 16, the end of it. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then here comes the second group. Verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now here's where some confusion came. Because I looked at that and I said, the dead in Christ will rise first. You got to remember, in my mind, I'm like, dead in Christ are going to rise? I thought we were with the Lord. This is saying the dead in Christ will rise. That's the body, not the soul. The soul is with the Lord. The dead bodies, the dead in Christ, that's our physical body he's talking about there. And then he says, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord. If the Lord comes back now, yes, he'll come and take us, our soul, but we will also immediately get a new body. So we go and we disappear. They won't be having a funeral service with my body, because I will suddenly disappear and you will too, and we will have a new body and go on to heaven. Oh, so you have to remember, when he's talking about those who's sleeping, he's talking about what it looks like, the physical body. By the way, what kind of body will we have someday? In other words, if the Lord comes back right now, boom, I disappear. But I get a new body to equip me to live in heaven. And he says, if he comes back right now, those who've already gone on, he'll bring with him. That's the soul. And then they get a new body. It will come out of the grave. And I said to myself, I wonder what that body will be like. Okay, I can't give you the definitive answer, but I can tell you what Scripture says. Listen, I'm going to quote this verse, so just listen to it. This is 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. You say, we're going to be like Jesus. Oh. He came back from the grave bodily. But it was a different body. It was Jesus, but it was different. Because he had died and been horribly treated in the body, emaciated. But when he came back to life, the resurrection, he could walk and talk to people and so forth. So it was a new body. This says we will be like him. We will be like him in kind, but vastly differing in degree. We'll never be him. Okay? By the way, here's another interesting verse. I'll just drop it into your heart. Mark 16:12 says, speaking of Jesus, now he's already been crucified, resurrected, but listen to how he's described. After that, it says, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. I don't know exactly what kind of body that was, but it was a different kind of form. But they could talk to him. He could walk down the road. And it was Jesus, resurrected, but it wasn't the body that they put into the ground. I mean, it was him, but what I'm saying is it was a new body, a resurrection body. Wow. So he appeared in another form. All I can tell you is someday I'll be in another form. And some of you are saying, good, because I didn't like this form that well. I didn't like, you know. I understand. Now, God has given us proof that he will resurrect our bodies someday. And let me tell you the proof. I'm going to show you from Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, drop down to verse 22. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Boy, I'll say, you've been through all the groaning and the crying and the pain and the suffering. Yes, that's exactly right. Verse 23. Not only that, now here it comes, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, which is the redemption of our body. Oh, the proof that someday I will get a new body to live in a different world. I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and so do you. He says, that's the proof that someday you'll get a new body because you have the Spirit of God living in you. And the Spirit is that foretaste, if you will, of glory. In fact, once again, I'm going to quote a paraphrase of this verse. And it really does capture what the verse says. Just listen. Verse 23 goes this way in a paraphrase. We Christians have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We are anxiously waiting for that day when God will give us new bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. And I ponder these things and think about, I mean, this isn't the only life, and this isn't the only body. And yes, my body doesn't always work well, and all the rest. Thank you, Lord. Someday we'll get a new body, like your glorious body. It'll be a different form. I don't know exactly what it will look like, but obviously it will be identifiable. We will keep our identity. I mean, you won't be me and I won't be you. No, we're distinct people, but we'll have a new body. Now, both the Old Testament and the New Testament clearly teach that there are basically two resurrections, two separate resurrections of our bodies. Remember, resurrection has to do with the body. Okay, let me show you these passages. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. These would be two good passages to mark. Daniel chapter 2. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 12 of Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 2. All right, here's what it says. And many of those who sleep in the... There's that same terminology, notice, but we're talking about the body. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. All right, there's the resurrection of the body. Ooh, but watch this. Some will go to everlasting life, but some will go to shame and everlasting contempt. Some go to heaven, some go to hell. But they will be resurrected. Now turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John 5. In John chapter 5, verse 28. Verse 28 and 29. Jesus speaking. 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. He's saying the same thing Daniel said. So here's the question. Where are you headed? Someday, if the Lord doesn't come back, you will die. If there's a funeral, sometimes the body is there, sometimes it's cremated, whatever. The question is, where will you be? Your soul goes to heaven or to hell, and then someday the body will be resurrected and you'll be given a new body to live in a real place called hell or a real place called heaven. That's what the scripture teaches. And that's why it's important that you know for sure that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Philippians said, be a good passage to read. It's in chapter 1, verses 20 to 24. He says, I'm torn between two things. I want to stay in my body to help you and to serve you. But he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's what he says. He said, I want to stay here to help you, but to tell you the truth, I'd rather be absent from my body, present with the Lord. It is far better. Please, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, make that decision right now. Ask him to save you from your sins, save your soul. He died on the cross to pay for your salvation. You simply receive him. It's not about doing good. It's not about works. It's not about religion. It's not about church. It's not about all that. It's just personal faith in Christ. It gives you the assurance that if you die, Oh, we can have the funeral service for you, but I will tell the people, just so you know, your brother's not here. And if we go to the cemetery and we stand there, I'll read this passage probably, and I will say to all of the people gathered there, with your casket right in front of us, he isn't here. This is only his body. He is absent from his body and present with the Lord. That's where he is. Someday this body will be resurrected and reunited with his soul to live in a particular place called heaven. So the question is, have you received Christ as your personal Savior? I trust that you have.